This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Recovering gracefully when an icebreaker backfires or gets silenced. What to do in the moment when your icebreaker lands wrong? In short, when an icebreaker backfires, silence is really the real problem. The mistakes made in the 10 seconds after the silence are what lose the room. Stay composed, name it briefly, and offer a simple redirect. The group takes its cue from you. Definition: an icebreaker backfires when the opening prompt intended to warm up a group instead produces silence, discomfort, or visible reluctance. This includes icebreakers that feel intrusive, confusing, or poorly matched to the group's readiness, resulting in a loss of momentum and facilitator confidence. You thought it was a solid question. You had used it before, or heard someone else use it, and it seemed safe enough. Then you asked it, and the room went quiet in a way that felt completely different from thinking. Nobody typed in the chat. Nobody looked up. The silence sat there like a third person in the room, and you felt the moment slipping. If you have ever been in that spot with an icebreaker, you know how fast your confidence drains. What most people do not realize is that the silence itself really causes lasting damage. The mistakes made in the 10 seconds after the silence do. This article is about those mistakes, what they look like, why they happen, and what to do the moment you realize your icebreaker has landed wrong. Why icebreaker misfires feel worse than they are. There is a reason people freeze when an icebreaker gets silence. You're already in a vulnerable position, standing at the opening of a meeting or group session, before any trust has been built. The icebreaker is supposed to create warmth. When it does the opposite, the failure feels disproportionately large. It takes up far more psychological space than a stumble later in a conversation would. Most facilitators have never been taught what to do when this happens. They were given the icebreaker, but not the recovery. So they improvise under pressure, and improvised responses under pressure are really the right ones. The mistakes I'm going to name here are ones I have made myself, some of them repeatedly, before I understood what was actually going wrong. The mistakes that turn a bad moment into a bad meeting. 1. Over-explaining the question after silence lands. What it looks like, you ask the icebreaker, hear silence, and immediately start re-explaining it. You add context, offer examples of what a good answer might look like, and effectively give a monologue in the space where someone's answer should be. Why it happens? It feels like the silence means people did not understand the question, so you try to clarify. But silence almost never means confusion. It usually means reluctance, discomfort, or a mismatch between the question and the group's readiness. Why it matters? Over-explanation amplifies the awkwardness. The group can feel your anxiety, and that makes the room feel less safe, not more. For more on how to keep a meeting moving when things go sideways, see how to run productive meetings that don't waste time. What to do? Say one short sentence and move forward. That's a hard one to start with. Let me try something simpler is enough. Then ask something lower stakes. I have sat through facilitators spending 3 minutes explaining a question that needed 30 seconds to abandon. It never helped. 2. Apologising repeatedly and at length. What it looks like, you say sorry for the question, then sorry again when you move on. Then a third time, at the end of the icebreaker section. Each apology reopens the wound. Why it happens? Apologising feels polite and self-aware, but there's a difference between a brief acknowledgement and a performance of embarrassment. Why it matters? Excessive apology shifts the group's attention from the task to your discomfort. It signals that you have lost confidence, which is contagious. The room starts to feel less anchored. What to do? One brief acknowledgement is enough. Fair enough, let us try something different is a complete response. Say it once, mean it, and keep moving. The room almost always follows your composure. If you treat the misfire as minor, most people will too. 3. Singling out the person who did not answer. What it looks like. After silence, you turn to a specific person and ask them directly, by name, to answer the original question. Why it happens? It feels like momentum building. If one person answers, others will follow. This logic is not wrong, but the execution is. Why it matters? Calling on someone by name after silence puts that person in the spotlight they were already trying to avoid. It can feel coercive, particularly in mixed groups, where some participants may have cultural reasons for not volunteering. This is especially relevant in running inclusive meetings with diverse teams, where the pressure to perform can fall unevenly. What to do? Instead of naming someone, lower the stakes of the question first. Ask something that requires less exposure, and let the first volunteer choose themselves. Forced answers are worse than silence. You get compliance, not connection. 4. Pressing on with the same question as if silence did not happen. What it looks like. The silence lands, and you repeat the question, perhaps louder or slightly rephrased, as though persistence will unlock participation. Why it happens. Changing course mid-icebreaker feels like admitting defeat. Pressing on can feel like confidence. Why it matters. It is not confidence. The group has already signaled that this question is not working for them. Repeating it tells them you are not listening, which is the opposite message you want to send at the start of any group interaction. What to do? Read the signal. Pivot cleanly and quickly. A simple redirect, let me come at this differently, and a new, simpler question resets the moment without drawing more attention to it. 5. Laughing nervously and hoping someone else breaks the silence. What it looks like. You ask the icebreaker, hear nothing, let out a short laugh, glance around, and wait. You are hoping someone will rescue you. Why it happens. This is a pure anxiety response. The nervous laugh is involuntary for many people. Waiting feels less confrontational than acting. Why it matters. Silence has a gravity to it. The longer it runs, the heavier it becomes. Every second you wait without a purposeful response makes recovery harder. The group is looking to you for direction, and waiting signals that you do not have any. For virtual settings, where silence is even more pronounced, this matters doubly. See best practices for virtual meeting communication. What to do? Build a recovery phrase in advance and have it ready. Something like, all right, I will take that silence as a sign we need a warmer question takes 4 seconds to say and immediately moves things forward. 6. Using humor as a cover when the icebreaker was the problem. What it looks like. After the misfire, you make a joke about the silence, about yourself, or about the group. You try to lighten the mood through laughter. Why it happens. Humor can diffuse tension. Sometimes it does. But when it is used defensively, to distract from a genuine misread of the room, it often lands as a second misfire on top of the first. There is an important distinction between humor that genuinely eases tension and humor that deflects from it. How humor can ease workplace tension, when used right, covers this in detail. Why it matters. If the group sensed the icebreaker was a poor fit, a joke about it can feel dismissive. It can read as you not taking their discomfort seriously. What to do? If you use humor here, make it brief and self-directed, not aimed at the group or the silence. Then move forward with a better question. Do not rely on laughter to rebuild what a failed icebreaker broke. 7. Treating silence in a virtual room the same as silence in a physical room, the counterintuitive one. What it looks like. You ask an icebreaker in a video call. See no responses in the chat and no one unmuting, and assume the same thing that would cause silence in a room is causing silence here. Why it happens. Most people assume silence is silence, regardless of format. It is not. Why it matters. Virtual silence has additional causes that have nothing to do with discomfort. People may be muted and not realize they need to unmute. Chat may not have been opened. The question may have been missed entirely during a lag. Treating virtual silence as social reluctance and responding accordingly can solve the wrong problem entirely. A well-structured virtual icebreaker needs different scaffolding from the start. See effective icebreakers for team meetings for format-specific approaches. What to do? Before pivoting, check the mechanics. See. Jump into the chat if you can hear me. Confirm the connection is working before you conclude the question has failed. I once spent 90 seconds recovering from an icebreaker that had simply been drowned out by audio lag. The question was fine. The silence was technical. The common thread behind these mistakes. Read through those 7 mistakes and you will notice they share a single root. Every one of them is a reaction to your own discomfort rather than a response to the group's need. Over-explaining, apologizing, pressing on, waiting, joking nervously, these are all ways of managing how you feel in the moment. They are not ways of serving the room. This is the real problem. Icebreakers misfire because of poor calibration, but the damage is done by poor recovery. And poor recovery almost always comes from turning inward under pressure instead of staying focused on the group. Can you tell which mistakes you are making? Run through these statements honestly. Mark yes or no for each. When an icebreaker gets silence, I immediately add more explanation without pausing to read the room. I have apologized more than once in the same session for a failed icebreaker. I've called on someone by name after silence to get things moving. I have repeated a question that already got no response, hoping persistence would work. I have waited in silence, hoping someone else would speak first. I have made a joke about the silence, or about myself, to cover the awkwardness. I treat virtual silence the same as in-person silence, without checking the technical setup first. Scoring 0 to 1 yes. You are recovering well. Heighten your backup question so it is always ready. 2 to 3 yes. You are managing the misfire, but adding unnecessary friction. Focus on shortening your recovery response. 4 to 5 yes. The recovery is compounding the original problem. You need a prepared phrase and a clear pivot plan before your next session. 6 to 7 yes. You are consistently making the silence worse. The good news is that every one of these is learnable. Start with having one recovery phrase ready before you go in. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now back to the article. Your first move toward a cleaner recovery. You do not need a full new system. You need one thing ready before the icebreaker even begins: a fallback question that is low stakes, specific, and answerable by anyone in the room. Pair that fallback with a single pivot phrase for when the first question lands badly. Something like, "Let me try that differently," or "Good. Let us warm up with something simpler." Practice saying it aloud before the session so it comes out steady, not apologetic. When you have both of these ready, the silence stops feeling like a crisis. It becomes a cue to use the thing you already prepared. For managing group dynamics when things escalate beyond silence, how to deal with dominant voices in a discussion and how to handle conflict during meetings are both worth reading before your next difficult session. The icebreaker backfires on every experienced facilitator eventually. What separates the ones who keep the room's trust from the ones who lose it is not whether the silence happens. It is what they do in the 10 seconds after. When an icebreaker backfires, your composure is the recovery. And composure, like any other skill, can be prepared for. Frequently asked questions. What should you do when an icebreaker gets silence? Name the silence briefly and move forward without over-explaining. A short phrase like "fair enough," "let us try something different" keeps momentum and signals confidence. Dwelling on the silence or apologizing repeatedly causes more damage than the silence itself. Why does an icebreaker backfire in a group setting? An icebreaker backfires when it asks too much too soon, singles people out, or misjudges the group's comfort level. Cultural differences, virtual settings, and poorly timed humor are common causes. The question itself is rarely the full problem. The context around it matters just as much. How do you recover from an icebreaker that gets a bad reaction? Acknowledge it lightly, without excessive apology, and offer a simpler alternative on the spot. Saying something brief and moving on preserves your credibility. The room recovers when you recover. Your composure sets the tone for everyone else. What makes some icebreakers more likely to get silence than others? Questions that feel personal, have no obvious answer, or require people to perform in front of strangers create silence most often. Hypothetical questions and forced humor also misfire regularly. Low stakes, specific, and easy-to-answer prompts consistently perform better across different group types. It is a mistake to apologize after an icebreaker backfires. A brief acknowledgement is fine, but repeated or excessive apology shifts the group's focus from the task to your discomfort. It also signals a lack of confidence, which makes the room feel less safe. One short phrase and a forward move is almost always the better response. How do you prevent an icebreaker from backfiring in future meetings? Test your icebreaker question against 3 criteria before you use it. Is it low stakes? Is it specific? And can anyone answer it without revealing something personal? Read the room before you begin. Pairing the right question with the right group size and format prevents most misfires. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.